B-Pod Studios.
Fred, hello.
Hey, guys.
Hello.
Hey.
What's going on? Are you on fire?
People need to chillax.
Mike Francesa appears to rip fought while ripping Adam Gase.
I love meatballs.
Do you?
Let's go Red Sox.
Hit me like a bomb, bomb, bomb.
Go Red Sox.
Hit me like a bomb, bomb, bomb.
Wall day, well, yeah.
She made out with my dad.
Hello. Welcome to the show.
Get this week's dog out of here.
Jolt from my electrodes. It's a monster mash.
Monster mash.
It was a graveyard smash.
They did the mash.
They did the monster mash.
They did the mash.
They did the monster mash. The zombies were having fun. The party had just begun. The guests included Wolfman, Dracula, and his son.
Good morning, everybody. Good morning. We are the Toucher and Rich radio program. We are in the Town Fair Tire Studios. Give us a call at 617-779-0985. You can watch us on Twitch and get involved in the lively chats, I'm sure, that are going on there. You can become part of that community at twitch.tv. Subscribe to 98.5 The Sports Hub. They send you a handy email that lets you know that we're on. You can also get the 98.5 The Sports Hub application. That is available at all your finer app stores. And you get that, and you can listen to the show live. You can get the podcasts. You can read the blogs. You heard the famous John Wallach singing the Monster Mash. Fear not, John Wallach has not gained his immunity to or his whatever they're hypothesizing happens after you get COVID and recover from it. But he has not gotten COVID, and he's back.
Hey.
He is back here in studio. John Wallach, back right here where we like, right here in the studio.
And everyone's okay in the family, too? Because I know that we had said that your son had gotten a fever, and that's what kind of started everything. Everyone's okay?
Yeah, everybody's fine. Under normal circumstances, and every parent knows this, your kid spikes a fever out of nowhere and gets sick, and everything's fine. You just wait a day, and as soon as he gains his strength back, you go about your business. But now that we're in the age of COVID, that's an extra layer, and you have to be extra careful. So I was out the last 2 days. We were waiting for the test to come back. Everything is negative, thank goodness, and fortunately, everybody can move along with their lives.
Yeah, you got to get them. If they got a fever, you got to get them tested now. I mean, if they have, I would imagine if they're showing symptoms for 24 hours, you would have to get them tested. Or, John, you cannot responsibly let them loose into society until you have that test garnered.
Yeah.
Do you guys have a drive-in place? Did you go to the parking lot of a movie theater or something, or did you go straight to the hospital?
We went to a clinic that was near where I lived. The problem is, and I found this out the hard way, is the worst time to want to get a 24-hour test is on a Sunday, because there are no 24-hour testing sites near where I live that are open on Sundays. You can go to parking lots next town over near hospitals Monday, Wednesday, and Friday in one place, and Tuesday, Thursday in the other place, and on Saturday. But on Sunday, it's 48 hours or bust. There's nothing. You can't get a rapid response test near me in 24 hours.
Well, so then you have to travel. You're lazy. You have to travel. You have to get in the car and drive. Find one of those places.
Yep.
I guess Suffolk Downs becomes a COVID testing party today. It's like they've set up this giant station in their parking lot where I guess they're testing up to like 1,000 people a day. But it's like this huge thing that they've finally done, which is out there. So there you go, John. Now you could have gone to Suffolk Downs, put some cash on the ponies.
I could have.
While you're at
That's
it.
That's right.
There should have been. Ever since they outlawed dog racing, paramutual betting is not a part of my life.
We never got to this, but to get off the COVID thing, because unfortunately John doesn't have it. This is a Jeffrey Toobin fella. Now, we never talked about this, but I keep, every time I go home and I see it, I'm like, why have we not talked about this? In the age of Zoom, I can't figure out what he was doing. Okay, so he's this, he's like a lawyer for CNN, like does lawyer stuff, but I didn't even know he was that limited because he's always on CNN. And he was on a Zoom call with people, I guess he does stuff for the New York Times or something.
He writes for the New Yorker.
New Yorker, okay, the New Yorker. Whatever, liberal rag. And he was on a Zoom call, but then he was on something else too, and he started pulling at himself. He dropped his trousers and started to self-pleasure. And the meeting went on. And no one, you couldn't see, I guess, he didn't direct the camera directly at his unit, but you could see him doing it. And the meeting went on, and no one really said anything. And then afterwards, it was brought to his attention that everyone could see him doing this. And his response was, oh, I thought I had turned off the camera. So, like, during the meeting, he just, the act of being in front of the computer, I guess, was such for him that he had to use another screen in order to pleasure himself.
It just makes you rethink what's going on the other end of every like conference call that you're on.
Well, there is something obviously very exciting for him to be on that call while also playing with himself. There was that's obviously was exciting for him because there's no way. He's so busy all day with Zoom calls that he's like, I got to knock one out right now.
That's right. There's just no free time. And
yeah.
I got a hankering. I got to get this out of my way.
Right.
All right. You're on that Zoom.
Yeah.
Do you say something?
No way, Jose.
Nope.
Because what happens if that's not really what he's doing?
Oh, he's doing it. And they knew it. And he knows it. No, he's doing it. They could see.
No. But I'm saying if there's a situation where you couldn't quite, there was like, you were 90% sure. But you called out a guy for doing it, and then it ends up. He was shirtless, though, so I guess that's a little bit weird, anyway. So, right? He was shirtless. Was he completely naked?
I don't know. I don't know why you take off his shirt. That's even more strange.
Well, I mean, I would say shirt's the second least weird thing that would be.
But that's like pulling down your pants to your knees to pee at a urinal. Like, why are you taking your shirt off?
Oh, see, I had heard he was naked, and maybe they just meant his pants were off.
Okay, Jeffrey Toobin's alleged masturbation on a video work call is just the tip of the iceberg in terms of reported sordid sex pest. Oh, this is just more. Oh yes, Dan, you are chomping at the bit. You have some information?
Well, the odd thing about it was that they were doing practice runs for the election night.
Yeah.
So maybe that gets him very excited about, you know, he's so into politics. He was doing a test run. So he was playing a role. He was role-playing like, you know, somebody else. Like, I think he was role-playing the Supreme Court. Now, if, you know, people say that this might be contentious and it might be not decided, that the court then... So he probably was thinking, I'm all powerful. They broke off into groups, I guess, on Zoom or whatever, different meetings, and it went on for about 10 minutes. When he came back, somebody said he lowered the monitor screen, and he was completely, he had no pants on.
Yeah.
So people were like, yeah.
Yeah, it's just such a weird thing.
And his excuse is just awful. I forgot to mute the
camera part. Yeah, his excuse was like, yeah, I didn't turn off the camera. But still, why are you playing with yourself at that point? Like playing with yourself, like I shut the blinds when I'm playing with myself. Like even if I'm upstairs during the day, I'll
it's just unnatural. It's unnatural to do that and say, hey, check me out.
Yeah, that's something that, you know, you make sure everything is all set up. There, I mean, there's nothing more where someone might walk in, like if you're in a situation where someone might walk in, you have to have like the covers ready to snatch. I mean, you can move. Once you reach a certain age, you can move in a split second to get the covers over yourself.
Requires some manual dexterity because you have the iPad to think about and the covers.
And your other hand.
And you have to make sure you got one eye out on the door and one eye on the screen. Very, very difficult.
Yeah, it is difficult. It is difficult, but you can get into a rhythm where you can get that those covers over yourself in lickety-split. But over the course...
John, was that your checklist? I'm sorry. Was that like... Because you're like, one eye on the door, one eye on the iPad.
All of us have this kind of mental checklist, and if you tell me you don't, you're lying.
Well, just think about him, though. Think about his... Okay, how often do you do this to yourself to have to do it during a Zoom call for work?
Well, that's the thing.
You just can't keep your hands off yourself.
I've only done it once in the last, like, 90 days, which is disturbing to me. And I'm weaning off this Paxil because I gotta, because something's got to give. I gotta.
Traffic's backed up for miles.
I don't even feel it. I feel like I'm going through menopause or something like that. That there's no need. And so in a way, this made me feel bad that this guy, who's quite a bit older than me, 15 years older than me, is, you know, can't control himself. That he's that into it. But there has to be. To him, and I'll read up on this. Don't you worry about this New York Post article about other stuff that he's done. I gotta hear this. But the need to do it and to want to do it, that's him publicly. So I would have to imagine he's a guy who'll get in the car and be out in public doing that.
Yeah, like that. That's something that, I mean, if you can't wait for the 30 minutes, just if you can't block off 30 minutes of your time to do this call, like what's the rest of the day look like? Where are you doing it? Where have you been, you know, found, you know, how many times at work did you do it? How many times, you know, while you were out and about, and were you at a grocery store and you just said, excuse me, and then you had to go to the store restaurant? I mean, like, how often does this guy do this?
In 2010, Gawker published, this is in the New York Post. I'm not going to read all of it because I'm not positive I can. They put an article out there in 2010 about Tubin called "Too Hot for Print: CNN Anchor Jeffrey Tubin's Rumored XXX Sex Fetish." They said he had an anal fixation, but I mean, whatever. That's not.
You know, people are into weird stuff. No, that's fine, but when you're just...
I'm not into that, but that's a very pedestrian. I mean, you don't have to... I mean, that's... As soon as you get onto the website, I mean, that's an option. I mean, that's not something that you have... That's something that if you don't like it like me, you have to avoid more than you have to seek out. The Rogers article about Roger Stone. Tubin went to Miami Velvet Swingers Club in Florida with the kinky Republican political trickster Roger Stone. He went to the Miami Velvet Swingers Club with Roger Stone.
Yeah. That's a bad day if you show up then.
I guess he wrote about that, though. He was open about that. All right. Well, if it's just the anal stuff, there's not much there. So, all right. Well, there you go. He has fairly pedestrian, sexual things that he likes, but in terms of when he likes to pleasure himself, and he's not he doesn't appear to be like a Lothario. I mean, he is an average looking dude.
Well, this is a condition, right? Like, if you can't stop, there's got to be a word for that.
I don't know if it's he can't stop or if he just is turned on by the idea of getting caught. So maybe, I mean, you have to think that there's a chance you get caught. That's got to be part of that, which makes me think he does this in public. You know, like the idea of getting caught is a turn on to him. So, but they're not firing him, so good for CNN. Apparently he'll be back. But OJ, I guess he wrote that book that became the People versus O.J. Simpson, that show.
Yeah.
And O.J. put something on Twitch about, he goes, even Pee Wee Herman did it in a XXX movie theater. Like, he pronounced all the syllables in theater.
Theater.
Yeah, he goes, theater, like that. So there you go. I couldn't figure out why we hadn't talked about it, but there he is. Wanking away right there on the Zoom call, which I'm sure he's not the only guy, but
Not what you want to do if you're a public figure. All right, Rich, what's coming up in the old what happened last night?
Well, the Nightmare World Series for the Red Sox just continues to get worse.
All right, we will talk about that in just a moment.
Recapping what you missed, it's Toucher and Rich.
What happened last night? 98.5, the Sports Hub. We're Toucher and Rich. Rich, what happened last evening?
Well, the Nightmare World Series for the Red Sox just continues to get worse.
And he is greeted by Betts. A shot into right, back at the wall, and it's gone. One pitch, one more run, and the first Dodger postseason home run for Mookie Betts.
7-1. Yep, that's the sound of the one that got away. Mookie Betts doing it all for the Dodgers yesterday as they beat up on the Rays in game one, 8-3. And when I say Mookie did it all, I mean he did it all.
Now he's their cleanup hitter. He grabs the first. Throw home, and not in time. Around the tag is Betts.
Good time.
Great base running by Mookie Betts, and it's 3-1 Dodgers here in the fifth inning.
Two hits, two runs, one home run, but I guess that wasn't enough either.
There he goes. No throw. That is a stolen base. Glasnow has struck out seven. There goes Betts. Double steal. Throw to count is too late. On the strikeout at the plate of Turner, a double steal.
Yes, he also stole two
free tacos,
bases.
Baby. Free tacos for everyone.
You know,
thanks,
by the way. Is Dan Roach.
He loves the free tacos?
No, he just, like, he was having fun. He enjoyed that. Yeah.
Okay.
He was watching the World Series, like, he's like, hey, free tacos. And, yeah, Dan.
It's one of the all-time great promotions that they do that because, you know, people do freak out about it. Now, what's the deal? You got to be at, like, there on a certain day between two, like, certain hours. It's, like, between, like, 2 and 4.
It's one of those
non-eating hours.
Like, when the Bruins came back from the strike and they said you could have a free homemade meatball.
Jumbo
or a free jumbo homemade meatball or a free healthy wrap. And people waited a period in line to get a dollar's worth of food for free. So I would imagine it's much the same with a taco promotion.
Probably. How much is a Doritos Loco Taco? Like $1.15 or something? Like it's like a little over a dollar, right?
I don't know, but the bean burrito is a disgrace now. No more Taco Bell for me. I got it last week. I was down there in Dorchester for a baseball game, and they put the liquid cheese on the bean burrito now. It's disgusting.
Hang on. They got rid of the shredded cheese?
Well, the shredded cheese was on the chicken soft tacos, but it was the queso. Like, it was just gross. Mm. Like, I couldn't eat it. I spat it out.
See, because the bean burrito always said it was like, it was beans, onions, and shredded cheese. That was the formula, right?
Yeah, and whatever sauce. A little bit of the sauce.
The red sauce, yeah.
And so now well, at least in this incarnation that I got the other day, it was the liquid cheese, and it was disgusting. Yeah, it was gross.
I like the liquid cheese on the nachos, but that's it. I want the shredded cheese on the burrito.
I mean, the liquid cheese has its place.
Yeah.
Not there.
Well, Mookie Betts, is there anything that this guy can't
Let's
do?
Let's go Red Sox!
No.
Let's go Red Sox!
You didn't want to
Let's
pay him.
Go Red Sox!
No. No Red Sox.
But here come the stats and historical comparisons that really drive it home. Mookie Betts, the second player in World Series history with a walk and multiple stolen bases in an inning, joining Babe Ruth in 1921.
Just shows you how the game was played. Good old Fatso Ruth could sit there and steal two bases. Pitcher probably at the time, too.
Yeah, well, Cody Bellinger, just how good is Mookie Betts?
It's really unbelievable. It's so fun to watch, and we're so lucky to have him on our team. I just say, like, he's a superstar guy, superstar talent, but he does all the little things right, and you can really learn from that when a guy's that good and he just wants to win and, like I said, just continues to do the small things that go unnoticed by a lot of people, maybe not, but it's really special.
By the way, Bellinger's shoulder apparently fine after he popped it out celebrating in the NLDS when he did that elbow high five thing. He belted one over the wall last night, so I guess he's doing okay.
I can't stand it. I just can't. Well, I understand why, and I get it.
No, what did you think? He wasn't good?
No. It's driven home during the World Series.
It's so annoying. You knew that Mookie Betts was good. The team sold itself for the World Series. They got a World Series. Stop complaining.
I'm not complaining. I understand why.
Not just you. Everybody.
They could have kept him, though.
Of course they could have kept him. Good. They could have kept him. And then for what? They wouldn't have made the playoffs this year. So, I mean, listen, there's an argument to be made. I guess you keep him and then chuck a bunch of money around at other things. But the team won a World Series, which is the deal that they made. They made the deal to win the World Series.
And it's the sins of all the bad contracts that were signed. The Eovaldi, the Sale. That's what cost you. I mean, apparently they offered him 10 years and $300 million. But they weren't willing to go much higher than that. And then the Dodgers were.
And they traded him and got something in return. Yeah. I don't, you know, Verdugo and whatever. I mean, you can.
You got a starting right fielder who's pretty good.
Yes.
In return. He's not Betts, but he's pretty good. He's going to be your starting right fielder for a while now. He's your leadoff hitter. He's the guy. But, yeah, I mean, they didn't get, comparatively speaking,
yes.
They got not pennies on the dollar, but not close to full value.
Which is what the deal is with those deals. But it's like enough. I mean, if you would have told people in the year 2000 that the Red Sox were going to have all these World Series and they'd be crying because they have a garbage team which got rid of a player because they didn't want to pay him. I mean, my Lord, and it's not either of you guys that I'm talking to necessarily. It's to everybody on Twitter. It's like, what did you do? First of all, I admit, I talked to a scout when he was a kid, and the scout was like, oh, he's too small and da-da-da-da. So I had misinformation on him, and he's a great player. There's no question about it. So let's get that out of the way. Second of all, though, is that you knew he was good when they traded him. But you have a World Series. The World Series has been won. I told you the day, and I'm I'm not bragging. It's obvious. It took 10 seconds of research for anyone. But this is the deal you made when you got Dombrowski. He did a bunch of deals that I could have done. I could have pointed at a pack of baseball cards and go, I want him, him, and him, and I'll give up anything I have to get him. And they got the World Series, and everyone knew this was going to happen.
You can still be mad at ownership for all of that.
Why? Like, but why? They got a World Series.
They got a World Series, but after the World Series is when they started making the worst decisions.
Yeah,
is when they ended up signing.
But trading
Chris Sale and
But I could argue, and it's not a bad argument, that the trading Betts wasn't the worst thing in the world for them to do. And so
it's pretty bad. I mean, that's a pretty bad one.
Why?
That you set yourself up after you won a World Series to make it difficult to keep that guy.
No.
You should have had the foresight
that
he was going to demand the type of money that he was able to demand
and
not make some of those moves.
But they knew. But they could have afforded him. They chose not to.
Which, once again, you can be mad at ownership
for. But why?
Because he's a generational talent. And they let he was homegrown, and they let him slip out of their fingers.
No, they didn't. They traded him. He didn't slip out of their fingers. They made a decisive move to move him.
And they did not get anything near what it would have been if you would have kept the guy.
Okay, so what's the team situation if they have Mookie Betts this season?
Well, he's going to be in his prime for at least, I know it's a 10-year contract, but you could say that you're going to have 5 years of his prime.
Okay, so four.
He's still
after
young
this.
Enough. So you've got 5 years to put together a really good team around him. And in that time, those bad contracts would expire, and you would be able to build a team around
Sales
him.
Sales isn't done for a while.
Chris Sale's a different beast altogether.
Sales contract's
again,
still very much valid.
But
I don't like your argument.
But once again, the Chris Sale thing, as well as the other pitcher, what's his name?
Nathan Eovaldi.
Those were done after the World Series. So this didn't have to happen. And it was ownership who got Dombrowski in here and approved Dombrowski making those moves. You could have won that World Series and still been able to put yourself in a position to keep Mookie Betts.
Okay, but you're still not going to be a good team.
Yeah, you
sure you are.
No.
At that point, you could have. If
Rich,
you would have had that money, if you would have had that money available.
John, take the floor.
All right, the way I see this, Rich, is if you decided not to re-sign Chris Sale and you played out that last season, you would have saved a lot of money. And you decided not to, now, I can
everyone knew you shouldn't sign Chris Sale to that. Everyone knew.
One does not mean another. The Nathan Eovaldi contract, I mean, we knew it was bad from the second they signed it. I understand why they signed it because of the hero thing he did during the World Series, but ultimately, Rich, if you decided not to re-sign those guys and you have no homegrown pitching coming up through the farm system because of all the trades you made to get all the players in, you were going to take a dive. I mean, Betts wasn't going to be the leadoff hitter on a championship team for at least 3, 4, 5 years. That's the problem. That's what the Red Sox saw. And the Red Sox were like, okay, we've made a 10-year, $300 million offer for him. We're not willing to go much further than that. He's going to leave us in free agency, and instead of a compensatory draft pick, we have to get something. Yeah. So what they did was they got their second baseman of the future, and this guy, Jeter Downs. They got a future backup catcher, and Alex Verdugo is going to be your everyday right fielder. Not nearly equal value, but they did get something for him.
I don't want to hear an organization that has the first or second highest price ticket sales and beer sales.
I understand.
In the league.
Hey, I'm on your side.
What good is it if they have Mookie Betts? John just told you they don't have anything else.
Yes,
what
but you've got it? 5 years at least of his prime in which to put a team around him.
And we just explained to you that that's not the way baseball works.
If you had the money that you gave up for Chris Sale and Nate Eovaldi, you could have done that.
Okay, who do they get? They don't sign.
Are you telling me that in 5 years you couldn't get anybody? There wouldn't be any free agent that you could sign with that money.
No, there are, but who?
Well, I mean, listen, you got 5 years to look at it. Take 5 years worth of signings.
Okay, who's pitching for me now? What's my rotation?
You've got 5 years to figure that out.
So for 4 years, we don't have a rotation, and on the fifth year, I go all in and go, here's the World Series?
It's better than the situation you're in now.
You're
so what kind of situation are they in now?
I think it's the same. The pitching is the same regardless of whether or not you have bets. That's the scary thing. I mean, Eduardo Rodriguez right now, and by the way, he's not homegrown. You had to trade Andrew Miller for him to Baltimore. But whatever. I mean, Eduardo Rodriguez won 19 games for you, not this season, but last season. And he right now, you have no idea what his future is going to be. That's the future of your pitching staff. That guy who's currently dealing with myocarditis.
What have we heard about him lately? Because I know that like a month ago, they started walking for the first time.
It's really, really scary.
Yeah, he just is. It's very like he's like a unicorn with this medical problem.
And by the way, you want to hear about an organization that's done it right? The Dodgers have a massive payroll. It's like $220 million. You look at that roster, Betts is like the oldest guy on it.
I know.
He's 28.
Yes.
I mean, Bellinger, 25. Urias, who pitched in the NLCS, he's 24. Seager, 26. Walker Buehler, 26. Dustin May, 23. You got all these guys. And, oh, by the way, the Dodgers still have a top-5 farm system.
Yeah.
They're going to be around for a long time.
Which is the way baseball teams are built, and which is why keeping Betts is, I mean, it's neato to have them, but you ain't winning. And to think otherwise is a fool's errand. To win baseball championships, if you look at the way the Red Sox were even built when they were winning, and you look at the way that the Dodgers and certainly Tampa Bay's built, I mean, come on. Let's cut it out. Enough with this Betts garbage. It would have been neato to have him here, but this team's not Betts away from anything. All right, what's coming up, Rich?
Oh, speaking of that, some of the current Red Sox players have spoken out as to who they want their manager to be. Hey, surprise, I think we might all know who it is. And our own Phil Perry, who comes on the show, may have actually pinpointed the reason that Cam was awful on Sunday.
All right, we'll have that for you. Here are the headlines.
This is not your conventional sports radio show.
It's become painfully clear.
Toucher and Rich, 98.5, The Sports Hub.
98.5, The Sports Hub. We're Toucher and Rich. Rich, what's going on?
So as the Patriots get ready for the 49ers this weekend, as we've been saying, Bill gets ready to once again set his eyes on the visiting Adonis under center. Walk this way, Jimmy G. Talk this way.
It's so funny. There's all this talk going on about how all these quarterbacks are going to be traded and not the future. And it's like Garoppolo and Darnold and all these, the kid from Washington. All these quarterbacks are going to be
moving. Dwayne Haskins.
And there's all these quarterbacks supposed to be moving around. Like, there's a draft coming up with two elite and one fringe elite.
No one's
prospect.
Really sure about that third guy.
Yeah, well, I'm not.
That third guy is an FCS guy.
Well, yeah. Carson Wentz went there.
Well, that's probably why their names are being tossed around, is because those bad teams are the ones with those quarterbacks, and they want to get a fresh new name in there. Like, I mean, Sam Darnold with the Jets. They want Trevor Lawrence.
Yes. It's funny that they're that, you know, all of a sudden there's going to be this, you know, that Garoppolo is going to be this guy that people want, is my point, is that San Francisco is going to be like, who wants Garoppolo? And everyone's going to have their hands. Me.
You know what the most intriguing one is, though? You mentioned some of these other quarterbacks with their name on the trading block. Matt Ryan's name has been thrown out there because there is a there are rumblings that they just want to completely start over. Julio Jones's name is apparently out there. Not only Matt Ryan. I mean, that team's going to be bad enough to possibly get one of those quarterbacks you're talking about who are going to be in this draft. Oh, yeah. So, like, Matt Ryan is a guy that couldn't you see with a good coach could pull like almost a Ryan Tannehill type situation, could have a rebirth and a resurgence, well, put him in a good system.
Well, if he has an elite coach, you know he's a very, very good quarterback because he was. And but I'm not giving up anything for him nor basing any plans around him. And I can't think of a team off the top of my head, I'd have to look, that is a veteran quarterback away from having a shot.
What has he got? He's got, is it 2 years and Matt, like 30 Matt, million?
Yeah,
left?
Matt, yeah, Matt Ryan is now 35 going on 36, and it's at least 2 more years after this one before he can get out from under that contract.
So I'm glancing around the league, and
what's the Cousins situation? I know they don't like him.
Yeah, I mean,
Cousins had all his money guaranteed.
Yeah, I mean, that's you're going to. So your team is, if there is a salary cap, if indeed there is a salary cap, I think keeping Cousins and Ryan would be a problem, but I don't know.
What if Baker continues to, like, bite it?
Yeah, Cleveland.
Like
maybe.
A Browns situation would probably be pretty good for a guy like Matt Ryan.
But if I still contend that Pittsburgh will trade for Darnold, and they'll give up their first rounder, which I think is a brilliant move, and I think they're a smart organization that will do it. And I think it's going to end up biting the Jets in the ass in the future. But
if things implode with Cam?
Nah, you got to get younger here.
Yeah, no.
I agree, but
Patriots aren't.
You don't
in
have
situation.
Anybody right now.
No, but I mean,
you know,
Patriots,
I mean, you got Stidham, and they apparently don't like him.
Well,
it seems like
you're not going to get a 36-year-old quarterback. I mean. You're not going
to
pay for that.
Getting Brady to play into his early 40s is one thing, but Matt Ryan, at this point, if he's a normal quarterback, is right on the edge. I mean, he's what, got maybe 2 years left?
Right, and if I'm this team, if anything, I want to get younger and start developing a new guy. I don't want
you
to
better
sit
start
here.
Then.
Yeah, you need a quarterback. But well, it's not Matt Ryan. If it's not Cam Newton, you need a quarterback, but I don't think it's Matt Ryan.
Yeah, no, it's not going to be Matt Ryan. He's too old, but I mean, yeah, like we've been saying forever, you got to draft a quarterback in every draft. And
maybe they'll take Darnold. I mean, listen, if they're looking to get rid of him, okay, how so great would that be?
You think the Jets, as dumb as they are, and I understand
yes. Okay. You just said it, as dumb as they are.
They have an executive who knows what he's doing this time. Douglas, correct? Douglas has a track record of knowing what he's doing.
If that scenario is ever mentioned on the show again, I'm leaving.
Because you know that's something they would do.
No, they're
so stupid.
It's not.
That would be great.
Listen, they're as bad in organization as there is in sports, and they would not trade their quarterback to the Patriots.
Patriots overpay because what do you think the going rate for Darnold is now? A third?
No, a first.
You think no one's going to pay a first for Darnold?
I read something the other day that the first, that's a pipe dream now.
Oh, no. Pittsburgh would give a first-round pick for him. Ooh, absolutely they would. Absolutely they would.
I thought they liked Mason Rudolph. That's their next guy.
No, I don't think so. All right, so he's not dumb saying that, but no, I don't think that is their next guy. But here's the deal, is that if you're Pittsburgh, you're not sniffing a high-end prospect anytime. They're too good an organization.
Yeah, they're way too good.
You're never going to get one.
Yep.
So if I'm looking around at a rare, rare opportunity, if the Jets, so you have Adam Gase, who is the worst offensive mind, the most, and I shouldn't even say worst, I should say the most corrosive, indefensibly ruinous offensive person,
ruinous is a great word.
It just he's awful.
Yeah,
and so if I have an opportunity to take a kid that's, by the way, he's like 22 and a half or something. Or he just turned 23.
Yes,
he turned 23 in June. If I and he has 3 years of NFL experience, By the way, the Jets aren't, notice they're not playing him. And he ain't going to play this weekend. They're just like, no way. They're saving him to trade him. So, and it's going to bite him in the ass. And if I'm the Steelers, and I can get a 23-year-old kid with 3 years of NFL experience that I know is it can only get much, much better. And the Jets go, I want a first-rounder for him. And you go, I'm not going to give up a late first-round pick for him. You're out of your mind. What am I going to take with that first-round pick? I'm going to take a shot at some kid at the end of the first round? I'd much, 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 much rather have Darnold.
I'm just telling you what I read. And we're going to have Manish on at 9 o'clock. And yeah, I just heard that this year.
Or you could take Nikhil Harry.
Yeah. Sure, take Nikhil. That would be great. But I've just heard that a first-round pick's out of the question for Sam Darnold.
I have read different. I have read that there's varying.
Well, you would know better than me. I mean, you follow the Jets more than you.
But I've read the same thing, I guess, Rich has been reading, is that there's no way they get a first-rounder for him.
Okay, well, then what I would do if I was the Jets, because I'm not paying Darnold, if I draft Lawrence, Darnold's my backup, and I can let him go to free agency and you can pay for him. Then you can fight for him. Because on the open market, you know how silly, we can all look at Cousins' contract. And by the way, Cousins turned down the Jets. I mean, Cousins, it's argued, could have gotten more money from the
Cousins
Jets.
Cousins also had a longer track record
anyway,
of success. When he was a free agent.
He made the playoffs with the team. But I also, if you gave me a 23-year-old kid that has a tremendous amount of upside, they don't come around very often. And he's going to make a tremendous amount of money. So would you rather give up the late first-round pick, negotiate with him on your own, or would you rather have him go to free agency and things get absolutely ludicrous? Because I can't think of a 24-year-old quarterback who no one thinks is bad. I mean, some people think he's turnover prone because he was at USC, but no one thinks is bad.
I think he traded for a second-round pick, and I think they can get a second-round
pick. But a late second-round pick, I don't know if that's worth my while if I'm the Jets. I don't know. I mean,
hard to know. The problem is it's really hard to know how good Darnold is.
He's worth a shot with a late first-round pick.
And I'd take a shot with a second, but I'm with Rich. I wouldn't spend a first on him.
I'm just talking, if I was a GM, I'd do it in a second because I'm either swinging at some fifth-best quarterback prospect in the draft who is probably I'm going to have to develop, or I'm signing some ancient-ass guy. If I need a quarterback, and by the way, if I'm Pittsburgh, I can sit him behind Roethlisberger for a year. And teach him. And so he has a year. He has a training camp year just sitting behind Roethlisberger and learning this.
He's going to go somewhere else. He's going to stay in the AFC. He's going to come back and throw four touchdown passes at MetLife to quarterback whatever team he's with.
Yes.
Beat the Jets 28-3. It's going to happen.
Yes.
The question is, what team is that?
And I think Pittsburgh's a smart enough organization where they'd use a first-round pick and trade for Darnold. I would hope that from Pittsburgh because I do respect the organization and I think that would be the move to make.
God knows if there's any organization you can praise for good moves and foresight and their scouting and
the ability
Pittsburgh.
To tamp down players that are nuts and keep
that
them pulling
them.
In the right direction.
And they've got
Pittsburgh.
Enough receivers, which they hit on every pick, so it's not like they need that late first round pick on a receiver.
That's very true.
So anyway, so Garoppolo's coming in.
Yeah, he is. Yes, that's right. Bill was asked about that cool drink of water, wearing scarlet and gold. And here's what Bill had to say.
Yeah, well, I think we all know Jimmy's, a quality player, can do all the things that a good quarterback needs to do. Led the 49ers NFC Championship last year. We'll be ready for his best. I'm sure we'll get him. So we'll do a lot of things well.
Yeah, and he said it all with a smile on his face. Meanwhile, Bill's own quarterback, Cam Newton, posted a little 5-second or so video on Instagram of him leaving Foxborough after last week's game with the caption, "Wheat six," in all these different wing-ding emojis. Tables turn, bridges burn, you live and learn, Drizzy. Truer words have never been mumbled. But yesterday, I was talking about how Cam's arm didn't seem right, and it's almost as if he was hesitating throwing down the field. Well, super sleuth Phil Perry from NBC Sports Boston, he found a play that might explain Cam's day where he just looked horrendous. At one point in Sunday's game, Phil found a play in which Newton took a shot to his right arm. He then looked down at his hand after a few throws. Now, according to Phil, Cam was 10 for 12 for 110 yards, which was about a little over 9 yards per attempt before that hit. After that, He went 7-for-13 for 47 yards at just over 3 yards per attempt afterwards. Now, that could be a coincidence, but either way, he didn't miss a play. And as Phil said, we'll see if he's listed on the injury report later, but there was a drastic difference in how far he was willing to throw the ball after he got nailed in the hand on that play.
Maybe,
and I'm not even quite
twice.
Sure what quarter it was, but I mean, it was a significant change in his attitude of throwing downfield.
Yeah, he tweeted that out. And yeah, I mean, he was holding on to the ball, and maybe that's why.
Way too long. And you know what would fix that problem? Short passes. And you know who's really good at catching short passes? Julian Edelman, who has completely disappeared from this offense for whatever reason.
He's hurt.
Oh, well.
But his knee, I was thinking about that. Your knee doesn't make you not catch short passes. I mean, it
all makes those, you not get open.
All those tricky little read routes in the middle, all those quick five-yard slants that give you 3rd and 2 instead of 3rd and 7. I mean, that's how the Patriots are able to move the football. Now, if he's hurt and can't run him, he shouldn't be on the field.
If you can't
him out of the offense.
If Edelman can't beat a linebacker on a slant over the middle, then he has no business playing.
And I agree.
Then you've got
anyone
can.
But it's really
a decoy.
Mysterious.
They got to cover him. Well, that's the thing. You put him out there
there's 5 weeks of film, and I don't know.
Really, don't you admit it's really, really weird how he has completely disappeared?
Yeah. Right.
It's sad.
Like this.
This is just it's time. And it's hits, and it's all caught up to him, and we knew it was going to happen eventually, and here it is, right before us. He's become somebody that you can't rely on. He's not effective, but you knew it was coming.
But,
so,
I mean, his presence was supposed to keep Cam Newton from holding onto the football in the pocket like he's been doing.
Well,
supposed to be the ultimate safety valve for this offense.
I can't think of many receivers that can't outrun a linebacker on a route over the middle.
He's hurt, or a lineman
dropping back into coverage. If you can't beat some defensive tackle that's backpedaling,
that's the thing. And if
problems.
The linebacker plays a zone, he's been a master at settling down in the middle and making those tough catches.
And that's just being savvy. That's not even speed.
Exactly.
That's just reading a defense. Yep. All right, so we'll be back. It is time to, listen, the senses need to be tickled, and sometimes the ears do. We'll explain.